on page 1676. And then put your finger also in on page 1820, where you'll find Ephesians 3, verses 16 to 19, from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Verses 16 to 20, and then 25 to 27. John 14 at verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And then down to verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now to Ephesians chapter 3, page 1820, reading at verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Some of you have the experience that I've had, which is the experience of parenting and having kids, and then they ask you for something. And they repeat the question, or they ask for things that you've already given them, or they are impatient and anxious about what they get from you, so they keep asking. And I think sometimes the church and Christian folk are like that. They keep saying things like, "Oh, and grant us your Holy Spirit. And give us your Holy Spirit." And some of you may be phrasing your prayer that way too, in part because you're humble, in part because you long for that to be a reality. But I want, and this is not how it is, but I'm just wondering if there's a picture of the heavens where the angels serve our Lord and where they are listening to the prayers of his people, your prayers, my prayers, and they're maybe having a little discussion among themselves and saying, these angels, "There he goes again, asking for the Spirit of God. There she is again, asking for the Spirit of God, asking for, we've already given it to you. It's already yours. You have it already. Why do you keep asking? Do angels do that? Why do you keep asking for what you already have? Now, if you can get the silliness of that, along with the truth of what it means sometimes to hear the questions, not just of children, but of one another, to ask for what you already have, if you can get to hold of that, then you've got a sense of Pentecost for your health, for your hearts and yourselves today. We're trying sometimes so hard to get the Holy Spirit that we're oblivious or not tuned to the fact that it's already happened. When the story is recorded by Dr. Luke in Acts chapter 2, when it says, "And you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will be powered from on high. And that is going to be given you on the day of Pentecost." And Pentecost came and went, if you will. So when the Gospel of John reflects on the meaning of the coming of the Spirit, he does it in the way that we read. And he has, look at it carefully in verse 16. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you." We are in the prayer of Jesus here, who says, you will get this comforter, this counselor. The Greek word is paraclete, parakletos, paraclete. It means one who strengthens, one who encourages, one who protects. You get that. You're not orphaned. It says, I will come to you. You will see me, I will see you. You will be mine, I will be you. How about this Trinitarian mystery that John lays out for his people then and for you and me today? I am in my Father. You are in me. I am in you. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be afraid. That's how the Greek goes. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't let your hearts be afraid. Control your hearts by what has already been given you. So that's Jesus' prayer said to his disciples so long ago, and to you and me in 2019 in this church. I pray for you to know that counselor and the mystery of this, I am in you, you are in me, this Trinitarian mystery. And then if you move to Ephesians chapter 3, again, notice verse 16. I pray. Now it's the Apostle Paul praying that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Where? In your inner being. And so the theology of Paul also claims what the Gospel of John has said in Jesus' words, that the Spirit is already in us. Not will be someday, or not if you pray hard enough, not if you try harder to get that Spirit in you. No, it is already there. You can breathe and relax. The Holy Spirit is in you. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit, which is in your inner being. The Spirit of the love of Jesus. And look what it says about that. You kind of can't grasp it. Maybe that's why we pray, God, give us your Spirit. Because we keep trying to grasp and hold on to the thing he says about Jesus. How wide and long and high and deep is his love of Christ. This love of Jesus over you, in you, around you. This love that he says in Ephesians surpasses our knowledge. And then again, says you may be filled to the fullness of God. Again, past tense, having been rooted, having been found in love. That's what I'm trying to say to you this morning. You already have what we often just keep asking for. We stunt our faith and our actions because we keep going back to square one. When God says, you're way past square one, I'm already in you. The eternity is already established. Now, the world doesn't see this, but you do, don't you? You know about Jesus. You're so clearly loved, you have it already. It's like you know, you can do that in I think in a gentle, non-deeply theological way. When you're about to pray, oh God, give us your spirit, you go, wait a minute, the angels are frustrated with that. You already have what you're asking for. Maybe the prayer should be something different. Not, Lord, you give us, but Lord, thank you for what you have already given us. Lord, make me see this great love that we can't measure, really, or imagine. But let me approach it. Let me live in the name and power of Jesus Christ in my daily life. Assume, as you wake up each morning, that God is in you and God is with you. You already have it. Would your life change? Would your words change? Would your actions change if that were true about you? Instead of being at square one asking for God to do these things in you, what would happen to your words, your self-thoughts, and your thoughts about others, and your actions if you were already fully convinced that the Holy Spirit is in you? Isn't that what Paul says? No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Isn't that what it means to be in union with Christ? And look what we're given. You're given the power of prayer, and you're given the scriptures to keep affirming this presence of Jesus, the lordship of Christ. We're given this morning not just a symbol, but a practical taste of how we are fed by the Lord. And the Holy Spirit nourishes us as a symbol of how God cares for his creation. We commune with the creation. And it is the body of Christ that we are affirming together. You and I already have what sometimes we ask for. Ask for our Lord's blessing and joy in a Pentecostal way. Lord God, I already am your daughter. I already am your son. I'm already your child. You've already given me all I need. Help me to see it today. Help me think it through and talk it and act the way you have implanted in my life. Already, I have it. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord God, help us today to not ask for these things as if you haven't done your work, as if Christ has not accomplished everything. May we see again the direction of Pentecost, that it's already ours. It's fulfilled. Help us now, Lord, to accept this as your gift to us in our lives every day, to know that we have it, and then to live this spirit in our words, our thoughts, and deeds, in our joy, in our sadness, in the truth of our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.